Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I'm your host, Shane Bacon. This episode of the Clubhouse with Scott Van Pelt is brought to you by OGIO. You like backpacks, right? Of course you do. Everybody does. OGIO makes a backpack that almost makes checking a bag on a flight meaningless. All the pockets you could ask for, comfort straps, two water bottle compartments. OGIO gets it, and you can see it in their craftsmanship. Check out all their backpacks, golf bags, and much more at OGIO.com. We've already given you a podcast this week already. We got another one coming up right now, and we're going to start off with two very fun and interesting and unique guests, two drive, chip, and putt competitors. That, of course, gets going at 8 a.m. Eastern on Sunday on the Golf Channel, the finals of the drive, chip, and putt. So I got a chance to talk to Zachary Colon and Emily St. Aubin, both very, very nice young kids, very excited about a chance to get to Augusta National and check out and be involved in one of the coolest things that really happens in our sport all year long. It's one of the most unique and awesome things that golf does. So we'll get to that right now. No reason to beat around the bush. Let's jump right in. We'll start with Zach, and then we'll go Emily, and then on the back end of that, we will chat a little bit with Scott Van Pelt. And I'm excited to welcome into the clubhouse Zachary Colon, 13 years old, out of Bolton, Massachusetts, qualified for the drive, chip, and putt. And Zachary, I have to ask, are you getting any sleep? I can only imagine you've got to be pretty excited for the week to come.
I'm getting a little sleep, but I always remember getting sleep is important, so I have to try.
When you qualified, how excited were you when you realized this meant you got a chance to go to where the Masters is played?
If it was on a scale of 1 to 10, I was probably 100. I couldn't really describe how excited I was.
Well, you've been playing golf since you were 4 years old, and I noticed that playing professional golf isn't an aspiration of yours. It's not a dream of yours. But, I mean, is that something that maybe will come up if you keep playing and keep competing and get better and better?
I think so. I think that I definitely have the ability, but I just have to keep working the way I am right now and to just keep getting better and better, and maybe it will come along sometime.
Well, I want to ask you, I'm way older than you are, but, you know, if this had been around when I was a kid, I could only imagine qualifying. You know, you have to start thinking about maybe a celebration, or what am I going to do if I make the putt there at the 18th green? Have you thought about any celebrations or fist pumps or anything you'll do if something comes up where you hole a chip or you knock it a long putt?
I think, yeah, it's been coming up in my imagination on what I could do, and I've been just thinking about it in school. I know my teachers wouldn't be happy to hear that because they would want me to be practicing and stuff and just doing my schoolwork, but I'm just thinking about what I would do if I was to make a long putt or chip, what celebration I would do.
What's your go-to celebration? Do you have one you normally do when you're playing in tournaments?
Yeah, it's the fist pump.
Like the Tiger one?
Yeah.
Well, adults have to have come up to you when they heard about you qualifying and told you how jealous they are. Is that something you're hearing a lot from adults?
Yeah. Some of them are really jealous. But most of them around here are really happy for me, especially the close ones. I just got an email today from an NEPGA person, intern, and the runner, and they said all the accomplishments and that they wished me the best of luck. I got the best advice today, which was it's the same thing as drive, chip, and putt, just on a fancier graph.
That's true. Have you been doing any different prep, anything different that you wouldn't normally do to get ready for this weekend?
No, actually, I wasn't even practicing for the drive, chip, and putt. I was just practicing to get better and improve my own game, but I just thought how I practiced, maybe this could lead to something special, and it did. Me going to Augusta was something special that I knew I could do with all the practice I did over the summer. And to answer the question, I have been doing something more special, which is the lag putting, because I know drive, chip, and putt's all about getting the ball as close to the hole as you can, not necessarily getting it in the hole.
Nice. Well, I I have to imagine, I read your bio and you said you're a fan of blue outfits and pink outfits. I have to imagine that you've thought about what you're going to wear for this event for a little bit. Do you have your outfit picked out for Sunday?
Actually, they give you an assigned color, and my color is green, and so it hurts a little bit because my go-to outfit is the pink one, but I can't wear the pink because they assign me a color and I'm the green.
Well, that's a good omen, though. You know, I mean, you get a green jacket if you win the Masters. Maybe the green comes with winning drive, chip, and putt.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that you said you're a big fan of Jordan Spieth, and I wanted to ask you, if Jordan Spieth came up to you this Sunday and said, hey, Zachary, what piece of advice would you give me this week? What would you tell the previous champion and a Masters champion and one of the best players in the world?
I would probably tell him that it's just another tournament and don't think about it as, like, a major championship, because if you think about it that way, you're going to probably get more nervous. So if you just think about it like another tournament, you're not going to get stressed as much.
Yeah, that's good advice. I like that a lot. What would you tell, or what do you tell other kids around your age, maybe younger, you know, sometimes in school, that don't play golf, that might be interested or possibly interested in starting up the game? What do you tell them to get them more interested?
It's a great game. It's hard at first, but once you get the hang of it, you can just start playing, and eventually you're going to see a big improvement. And once you get that spark, you're never going to stop.
Well, what is something that you would like to see changed in golf to make it more fun for everybody?
I actually don't know. I really like golf the way it is, and especially how it's a different day every day. So I don't know. I think golf's perfect the way it is. I heard them talking about the max score per hole. Like, you get them double the par, and I heard that was a rumor. If you double the par, you can just pick up. But that's golf. You're going to hit some bad shots. So I think, personally, golf's fine the way it is.
Well, I like that. I like that approach. I have to ask you, I know we're a week and a half away from the Masters wrapping up on Sunday. I know you've got your own tournament to think about, but do you have somebody you would pick right now that you think's going to win the Masters tournament on Sunday?
Well, I heard everyone thinking that it was going to be Dustin Johnson, but I have to say one underdog, I'm not sure who it is, an underdog might win it, because if you think about it, there was Jordan Spieth, who was, I think, in the top five in the world at that time, but Danny Willett won, and I'm not sure what his ranking was, but I'm sure it wasn't in, like, the top five elite golfers, but Jordan Spieth lost it because of his nerves. So I think that an underdog will win it. So I'm not sure who it is, but I'm certain it's not going to be in the top five.
Okay, so you're going to take a flyer. I like that. I mean, it seems to be smart considering there's so many players in the field. Why would you take one of the favorites when you can think, you know, you get to take some 75, 80 other players? I like your approach, Zachary.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. That's Zachary Colon, 13 years old, Bolton, Massachusetts. I know you're excited for this week. I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes, and I hope you get in all the practice that you want and prepare for what can only be an unforgettable week. I know we're all going to be pulling for you.
Okay, thank you.
And we now welcome in Emily St. Aubin, 14 years old, from Ashley, North Dakota. And Emily, it's almost here, but I have to ask, you're in North Dakota. Have you been able to practice at all, get ready for drive, chip, and putt?
Yes, well, actually, the snow has been melting the last 2 weeks. Like, early this winter in December and January, we had, like, a really rough winter, a lot of snow days. But towards the end of the winter, it started to not be so bad. So the snow has just been melting the last 2 weeks, so I've been able to head out to the course more.
Well, that's exciting, and I'm sure you are excited. What's the feeling like as you're fast approaching, getting on that airplane and heading to Augusta, Georgia?
Yes, I am very excited to be able to head down there and meet some new people and just enjoy the moment. I'm excited for this opportunity that Drive, Chip, and Putt has given me.
Well, you mentioned in your bio on the website that you play a lot in your hometown with an older group of people. How badly do they want you on their team when you guys are picking sides and going about a match?
Yeah, actually, most days it's a rock, paper, and scissors battle because, yeah, they're just an awesome group to be around. They've taught me so much, and I have an awesome time with them.
Are they pretty jealous of your chances of getting to go to Augusta?
Yeah, they're really jealous. They tease me about it, but they're really excited for me, which is nice.
Well, you're only 14 years old, and I thought it was really cool something you mentioned. They ask you who's the coolest person in golf, and you had a different answer. You didn't say Jordan Spieth. You didn't say Rory. You didn't say Ricky. You went a little bit more historical, and I was very impressed. Can you expand on why you went with who you went with? You went with Arnold Palmer, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Arnold Palmer. All right, yeah. I went with him because at the time that I was writing my bio, he actually had just passed away, and I was seeing a lot of things on the Golf Channel, like in those previous weeks, that just really, he seemed like a really cool guy and that accomplished a lot in his golf career, and it's just awesome to watch about it.
Well, what's the funniest thing that has ever happened to you on a golf course?
I would say last year at our regional qualifier for state, I was hitting and I was in the rough and there was a tree to my right and a tree to my left. And I was like, oh, I said to my coach, to my dad, oh, there's a little opening here. I can make it in between these two trees. And then I take out, like, my fairway wood, and I hit it, like, really hard because I was expecting to make it past those two trees. And hits the tree, goes straight up, and then the girls that I was golfing with in my group had to, like, run and duck so I didn't hit them. But after that, my ball was back in the fairway, so that was good.
Yeah, a lot of ways to do it. That's okay. Hey, as long as it gets a good bounce, that's what you want. And I'm sure that's what you're hoping for over the weekend. What's something that you're most looking forward to as you get to Augusta National?
I'm just excited to be able to head down there. We've seen so many pictures of Augusta and heard so many stories, and we've watched in previous years. And it's just going to be exciting to set foot on the course along with a bunch of other people who love golf just as much as I do, if not maybe some more. And they're just so talented, and I'm excited to get to meet them and talk to them. And I'm just going to enjoy the moment that Drive, Chip, and Putt has given me because this is so special.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to ask, do you have like a celebration or something you've planned out if maybe you make the putt on the 18th green or if you chip in or if you do something like that? Is there a go-to Emily celebration?
I have not really thought about that, but maybe I'll have to look up something tonight or like a little dance to do or something. Because the 1 o'clock golfers have a lot of those, so maybe I'll just steal one of their celebration dances.
Yeah, exactly. You can take it. Well, I have to ask, okay, so say Ricky Fowler walks up to you this Sunday and he said, Emily, give me one piece of advice this week as I get set to play the Masters Tournament. What are you going to tell a guy like Ricky Fowler to get him set for the major championship?
I'm just going to tell him to go out there and do what you've always done and just try your best. And if one shot doesn't go right, just forget about it. That shot's over with. There's nothing you can do about it. And just keep playing your game. Don't worry about your competitors, how they are doing or what they are doing.
And Emily, I did see that you are hoping to one day get into sports broadcasting. Is that something you're still excited about and hoping to do?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I think it'd be really fun. I really love to follow sports and to watch plays, and I like to evaluate how the play goes out, and I like to talk to people, and I think it'd just be an awesome opportunity for me to have.
Well, Emily, I appreciate you jumping on. Good luck, not just with the golf and with the Drive, Chip, and Putt and the week at Augusta National, but you know, with the broadcasting idea and as you kind of further through high school and get set for college. You have a great voice, so step one's complete, and you can play golf. So really, it's a win-win already for you.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
We'll take a quick break to tell you the first golf major of 2017 is next week. That is not a joke. Next week. And to celebrate, DraftKings.com is hosting a free fantasy golf contest with $100,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Whether you live and breathe golf or you're looking to try a new fantasy sport now that football's over, 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings is for you. And fantasy golf on DraftKings is easy to play. Just pick six golfers before the tournament tees off on Thursday, then just sit back and follow the action live. You're going to do that anyway. Rack up points for streaks, for hole performances, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition and you win. You can't get closer to the action than this, and millions of fantasy sport fans just like yourself have experienced the excitement of DraftKings. Now it's your turn. This tournament starts Thursday, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Get free entry into the $100,000 contest for golf's first major with the promo code Clubhouse. That's code Clubhouse to play free for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. $100,000. Only at DraftKings.com, the destination for 1 week fantasy sports. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, let's get to Scott Van Pelt. And for the second time, we welcome in Scott Van Pelt of ESPN here into the clubhouse. You can, of course, watch him on SportsCenter weeknights, and you get to watch him all week long at the Masters. And Scott, we finally here. We made it. Masters week is upon us. How pumped do you get when you know you're about to spend a week on that plot of land?
It's the week of the year I look forward to most professionally. It's a special place. It's hard to explain it to people that haven't seen it. I'm sure most of the folks that listen here either have been or plan to go at some point. And if you haven't gone, I just tell you, do it, figure out a way. And you won't be disappointed. There's so many little things about the week that are unique and special. And I do my level best every year to make sure I avail myself of those things because it's a week a year and you're just thankful that you get to do it.
And we're here with you hosting. I mean, when you hear Scott Van Pelt is hosting the Masters, I mean, you're getting a chance to host, you know, the biggest golf event in the grandest stage, really, in all of sports. Does it still sink in? Is it still weird to hear that?
Sure. Of course it is. I was just having a conversation with the guy who does the research on my show. We were just talking. He's going to be down there next week, and we were talking about, when are we getting there, this and that and the other thing. And, I mean, I went there 20 years ago for the first time when Tiger went a million under and won in one of the most memorable events, in an event that is full of memories, right? And that was my first year, and never for a second would you contemplate that you would get the opportunity to go and do this. And as I was explaining to him, the surreal part is that nothing feels different at the moment. I haven't gone there yet, and I'm not going to do anything different. I'll pack up a bunch of suits, put them in a suitcase. We'll get on a plane. We'll fly to Augusta. We'll drive out there. And then on Thursday, the event will come on the air and I'll be the one saying welcome. And that'll be when it's just too bizarre to believe. And I count myself as thankful. I've never been in the Butler Cabin. The first time I go in there will be to work. That's hard to fathom. So I will do my level best not to screw it up, but I can assure you at all times I will be thankful and appreciative that the path led to that.
Where does this rank in terms of things in your career that you'll put atop? I mean, I'm sure you probably aren't going to have to fill out a resume anymore, but where do you put it atop? I mean, having your own sports center is pretty incredible in and of itself, but I mean, hosting this in Butler Cabin, as you said, I mean, it's not a long list of guys that have done this. And I mean, all the list are people that are in, broadcasting Hall of Fames and are first name or last name basis type of people.
Well, yeah, I suppose I'll put an end to that streak right there. but I mean, I don't know how to say it really. I mean, the truth of the matter, just from the mechanics of doing it, is there's not a great deal to do because it's a CBS broadcast that's on our air. I mean, it's all still all of your familiar faces and voices from the CBS telecast with Lance Barrow in the truck. I mean, it's their broadcast. It's where I'm mostly just there to say hello and then get out of the way. So just in terms of what the role is, having hosted the US Open when we had it, for Mike was at the Olympics, and there was times that I did some of that. The amount of work that was involved was much greater. But the point is still, and you're right, that just the idea that that's what your spot is, so to speak. You're in the butler cabin, and that you're the one that's welcoming people and sort of navigating the ins and outs on occasion. It's just in terms of an individual assignment. I mean, it's the Masters, and I get to do it. So I don't know what in terms of just an individual assignment. Nothing would top that. Nothing.
It's funny. I got to do the interviews last year at the U.S. Open, and I mean,
and you were really good at it, by the way.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. But I was nervous. I mean, you're nervous when you're doing something on a stage you've never sang on before. And they had that rain delay, and the rain delay, in a way, broke it for me because I didn't have time to think about it. I had to go grab guys and do interviews because I was the only show there. There was no golf to be shown. I mean, they can only go to Joe and the guys so many times. So in a weird way, it helped me something being abnormal happening that doesn't normally happen in U.S. Open. So, you know, it is so weird when you do have those moments in your career that you've been excited about doing and wanting to do, but then you also have to go, I'm here to do a job. I've got to do it well. And so for you, you have to cover every sport. I mean, you have to be completely engulfed in the NFL and NCAA football. And I mean, frankly, not just sports. I mean, you do Bad Beats, which is hilarious and people love. And, you know, I mean, you do all these segments. How much time do you spend on golf throughout the season? Or is there a point, you know, around March or in February where you turn to it and say, let's focus in on this. I've got the Masters coming up.
The good thing for me, Shane, is that I came up in the sport. So, you know, I've been to, luckily, Kapalua, and I've been to Pebble, and I've been to Torrey, and I've been to Palm Springs. I mean, I've been to all these places, right? So they're part of my history, and you get to know, you know, tournament directors, and you get to know, you know, the caddies and the club reps and all the people that are part of this traveling circus. And so for me, golf is nothing that I have to, you know, it's not like I have to pay attention. You know, it's not like I don't have to tell myself, you know, oh crap, I haven't watched any golf since the PGA or something, you know, that would be awful. And that's where just being a fan of the sport. You know, I watched all last week in Austin, and then, you know, I Florida Swing, and, you know, it's just, whether it's sitting down and consciously consuming hours of it as it's on live, or if it's late at night, I'm following things. So I'm aware of not just, you know, hey, Dustin Johnson's really good at golf. Everyone knows that. You know, we talked to Ricky Fowler today, the significance of him getting a tour win this early, it kind of sets the table for him. And you wonder, you know, how might he do? And, you know what I'm saying? Just, it's not just the, above the top fold of the paper stories that you at least have some idea about. And that's where, again, just my interest in it, which came out of coming up through the sport, in terms of my career, really, really helps me. Whether I was covering the Masters or not, I would have been doing all of that. So, I mean, I think, you know, you'll certainly do a little more reading in advance of it just to make sure you're not missing anything that's I ought to know, in terms of something somebody has to say, or, you know, if Jason Day updates how things are going with his mom, whatever the case may be, like the minutia, you always need to kind of keep up on. But, you know, like I said, it's not like, it's not like I'm like, who won what?
Dustin who? What's his last name? No,
yeah.
Like Danny.
How about that guy, by the way?
Well, I mean, he's
out of his mind, man. I said this when he became number one, that I believed it, and I would say it again, that he is the most like Tiger in this way. When he plays to his ceiling, he will make it look so much easier than it looks for anyone else, and no one else will be in play. Like Riviera is a good example. He could have won by 10,
right?
You know, it was so easy for him, and he really didn't even putt that great last week. Like if he goes to Augusta and putts, he's going to win by a lot. Now there's the rub, because it's hard to do that there, but some year, some week, he's going to go there and he's going to putt and he's going to win in a walk.
Yeah. I mean, there's three guys we've watched since Tiger, in my opinion, that when it's locked in, it looks different. And I think we've seen it with Jason Day, and we've seen it with Rory, and now we're seeing it with Dustin. And I think, I almost think the media, even the golf media in a way, has underplayed what DJ's done since Oakmont, because we've all kind of waited around and expected it. This guy's got a lot of talent. Wait till he starts making putts. Now he's making putts, and he's winning everything he plays in. I thought it was really smart of him to take Houston off going into the Masters because, you know, we saw it last year. I mean, the guy turns all the par fives into par fours, and that's what Tiger did before they changed the golf course.
Yeah, and I mean no disrespect at all to Houston. You know, it's a tour event. It's a great golf town. It doesn't mean anything to Dustin Johnson right now because all it would be is if he won another trophy and another million two or whatever the purse is, and he doesn't need it. What he needs is to, you know, take whatever time to be rested and right so that he arrives, you know, prepared and ready to go. And, like, you know, there's guys like Mickelson famously over the years like to be competitively sharp or whatever. But, you know, travel the world, he had to play all these, you know, how many matches did he play, even though he put a lot of them to bed before the 18th hole, whatever. You still got to play seven matches, man. That's tiring. Go home, rest, and go to Augusta ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, he's not playing you and I. I mean, he's playing John Rahm, and he's playing Tanahara,
right,
who played unbelievable the whole week and took Dustin Johnson, you know, all the way to the 18th hole. I mean, these were tough matches, as you said. I did want to get to Phil in a bit, but I was going to ask you first. You had Tiger on your show a few weeks back. He was kind of touting the book. This is a guy, I mean, you've covered him, I think, since 1995, if I'm correct. We don't have word if he's playing next week, but, I mean, all signs point to no. I just wanted to get your opinion on, are you shocked, astonished that we're to this point with Tiger? You know, he's not that old, but he's almost unable to play golf.
Yeah, it's really weird. And I'm in a weird place with this from time to time where I think about just the passage of time and how long I've known him and who he was then and who he was for a long chunk of time. But in a game where you can, you know, play 50 straight Masters like Arnold, you know, it wasn't that long. You know, it's 97 to 2008. That's the span of his major championship winning years. That's not that long in golf. And my sense is this. I think he's going to be good enough physically, and by good enough, I mean healthy enough, to have the ability to play golf. Like we saw it at the Hero World Challenge where he went, and I think he had more birdies in that event than anybody else. And
yeah, most
people got so excited. Yeah, people got so excited to see that. And I think that he'll have, you know, a week or two where he can do that. And the problem is that the boogeyman in his back is just going to jump up and grab him out of nowhere. And he doesn't know when it's going to happen. Like if Tom Brady, if somebody rolls up on Brady's knee, well, that sucks, but you get surgery, you'd spend however long rehabilitating it and you come back. You know what happened and you know how it will heal. With this, after three surgeries on the back and it kind of popping up out of nowhere, I'm afraid that just the doubt of waiting for something bad to happen is debilitating. And then, look, he doesn't want to go play events and then not be able to play and have to withdraw, have to continue doing that. And, you know, if it comes after he's playing poorly, then people, you know, heckle him with, oh, you know, he's playing like crap and he withdrew and that, you know. At some point, it just becomes diminishing returns, man. I don't need to do this anymore. But I know he wants to try. I know he wants to play. So it's a really weird place to find him where he just can't physically do it and he can't trust his body to know if it will allow him to. So I can't imagine he plays next week. I mean, you know, him saying what he said, I just need more time. Well, you know, nobody can create more of that than exists. So I can't imagine he'd go play because there's just no way he'd be competitively ready.
Yeah, I mean, you're setting yourself up for no positive to come from. I mean, there can't be a good
exactly
thing. I mean, this isn't 09. This isn't 08. I mean, this isn't a guy that's going to pop back from injury and he's still got it. And again, between the years, to me, is where it's at. I mean, this is a guy that's been defeated on the golf course for the last few years. I mean, he had that great run where he won eight times in two seasons. You actually had to remind me about that when we were having a conversation about it. But, you know, this is a guy that, you know, mentally when he's out there between the ropes, it is night and day from when he was dominating. And that can't be fun. That can't be fun to do that. It can't be fun for anybody. I mean, we get older and we play worse golf as well. You know, it's not a lot of fun to go out there and shoot a high number. Doesn't matter what nice golf course you're playing.
Agreed, and the expectation set that he created is his and his alone, and You're dead on about the mentality. That's where he was better than anyone else. That's why he won when he from the lead as often as he did, which in retrospect is the most impressive thing he did. It's hard to win with a lead. You know, just go back over the, you know, think of this year. How many guys that have a lead on Sunday win? They lose leads more often than they finish off victories. And he was the greatest lock in that, in a sport where they don't exist. And it was the mentality that got him through. But where once he was strong, now he is weaker. I wouldn't use weak, but weaker, just because, you know, he's been beaten, as you say, been defeated. So, you know, everybody that loves the sport would love to see him be healthy enough to tee it up and play wherever, whenever. I don't believe it will be next week. I don't know, but I it would stun me if you were ready to play.
Listen, there's been a lot of hate on these pimento cheese sandwiches the last few days, and I saw you join the convo, and I got so bummed out. What's going on? Like, am I the only one that likes them? I feel like I'm the only one that enjoys them. Everybody else is hating.
Well, I was asked about it, and then you try to be diplomatic. But, I mean, let me just put it to you this way. You go to the ice cream store, man, there's lots of flavors. Eat what you like. If you like them, good for you. But if I don't, and it's more a consistency issue than anything else, I'm grown. I don't have to eat that. And guess what? I can get one of those delicious chicken sandwiches or four, and I'm quite happy. So you can have as many pimento cheese sandwiches as you would like to have, and I will go ahead and pass, and everyone's happy.
And you didn't even finish it. That's the worst part. You gave it like a bite, a half bite.
No, I didn't give it the no thank you bite. I gave it the I'm going to give this an earnest attempt. And then I thought, okay, no, not so much. And then I gave it a second out of a sense of obligation to the event and the place. And I thought, well, maybe it'll get. And then I said, you know, I'm not liking this. And I'm going to go ahead and not have it.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's America, and I am not obligated to eat it.
You know, I think it's a fair point. I feel the same way about egg salad sandwich, and of course, everybody jumps on me about that. So I'm in the same boat, at least on the other side of the coin. You get to work with Curtis Strange this next week. Mm-hmm. I get to work with Curtis at Fox. Maybe the biggest surprise of anybody I've ever worked with is A, how nice Curtis is, you know, when you're man to man with him, and B, how good he is at his job. How excited are you to get back out there with Curtis?
He's awesome, man. He's such a good dude, and you're right. I think there are people that maybe surprise you. Like Vijay Singh was always one of my favorites when I was out there, and I think that surprised people because his rep in the media was what it was, not necessarily positive. And I mean, I take people as I find them, and Vijay was great to me, and we always had great conversations. And you know, Curtis is different in the sense that I think his rep is that he was just always so red-assed and always mad at everybody and got to running hot and this and that. Well, I mean, he's got that in him now. I mean, don't kid yourself. It's there. but so is a very thoughtful, kind guy who asks you about your family and about your life. And he is waiting for the answer because he actually is interested in it. And, you know, he's one of those guys, and you're right about him. And, you know, I work, you know, side by side with Andy North, who's another guy who I think they have such insight, and because they've done it. You know, they both those guys solved the U.S. Open riddle twice. If you can figure out how to do that, that means you can do something that's harder than I'll ever have to figure out how to do. And for them, explaining the game, explaining why the game is played the way it's played by these guys, they make it easy to make it make sense to the rest of us. And, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to needle each other mercilessly about, you know, who knows what. But he'll be there for me to lean on, because there'll be that nervous moment where I'm going to be like, oh, please don't screw this up. And, you know, he'll be there just to make sure that I'm calm enough to not hopefully knock it into the woods, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years going to the Masters, 20 years working. Seems crazy to think, but is there a favorite part of the week, you know, year in and year out that you get to do, or just something mm-hmm. that sticks out in your brain?
Wednesday. I love Wednesday. It's my favorite day. I tell anybody that is interested about going, I would say Wednesday is the best day, because it's the only place in sports I can think of where you go where truly the draw is the venue. You can go to, you know, you can go to Houston and see some of the best players in the world. You know, you can go to, Harbortown. You can go to, I mean, pick a town, but you can go to any event on tour and see great players. Going to Augusta, the draw is the venue. So if you're able to go on Wednesday and then go walk the course early and then go over and see some of the par three contests, you see the rarest thing in major championship golf, which is the day before the event starts and everyone just takes a deep breath and relaxes and enjoys the company and enjoys the venue and enjoys I looked at the weather, it's supposed to be a perfect day. Wednesday is the absolute most fun. You know, get serious on Thursday because it's meant to, you know, I mean, it's look, it's playing for a green jacket. So things, the mood and the tenor takes a turn on Thursday and becomes more serious. But Wednesday is my favorite day there. The fact that we're actually allowed to eat in the grill is something that I never take for granted. I've been, as I say, 20 years, I've gotten to be really good friends with a lot of the folks that work there, and you know, they greet you by name and I greet them by name, and you know, just being able to sit down in that room and be allowed to have a cheeseburger. I mean I don't know how that sounds, but trust me, you'll never have a better cheeseburger in your life than if you're sitting there looking out the veranda on a sunny day at the people gathered by that big oak tree. I mean, And Shane, there are 15, 20 different things just like that, little moments that I allow myself that might not matter to somebody else, but to me, they're things I do each week. And, any of them are memorable, and all of them are why the week is unmatched for me.
I have to ask last thing. How is the current golf game? I know you said last time you came on, you hadn't been able to play much. You've been getting out at all. I mean, the weather's been better there, huh? Besides that snowstorm you had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I mean, other than the 20 inches of snow?
Well, I mean, I lived there for a year. I remember it.
That little minor detail of the fact that our golf courses are still under snow and it's going to snow again Friday. Other than that, it's debilitating living up here. It's crushing. I don't play. I played. Tim Tebow is a guy who's become a good friend, and I served as his auctioneer at his event, his charity event, which is held at TPC Sawgrass, which is a hell of a venue. And I have not played any golf at all in 7 months, roughly. And he asked, would I come down? I said, sure. And I actually shipped my clubs there to try to play. And as you know about that golf course, one doesn't find his or her game at Sawgrass. And how about this? I open up my bag and in a horrifying moment of discovery, my 3-wood, which is my one club that there's actual confidence there. I have belief that I can hit it. I open the bag and it's broken in half. So no 3-wood, no game. Go get him, Van Pelt. I didn't honor myself with my play, but I didn't curse, and I didn't throw a club. And so in that way, at least I didn't totally humiliate myself. But I am going to have a little time on the back end of the Masters. I'll be down in the Keys, and I plan on trying to hit some golf balls. And then when we come back north, hopefully the snow's melted and we can maybe find something this summer. But I have two young kids, and it's 4 or 5 hours on the golf course. I can't justify that time at the moment. But one of these days, before I'm 100, I hope I can actually play some golf and try to see if I can get a handicap that's respectable.
What'd you make on 17?
The wind was blowing 30 right to left. It was a full 9-iron, and it was dead in the middle of the green, which meant that it was going to end up 15 yards to the left in the water, which it did. But that was one of the very few times I actually felt like I made solid contact, but the wind was blowing so hard that it would have required, think about this, it would have required the faith in hitting it at a target I intended and then allowing the wind to knock it back, which meant I would have had to start it 15 yards out over the water.
No fun.
I was not armed with that faith, and I wasn't able to kind of cut it back into the wind because I was just trying to make contact. So we did not use my tee shot on 17 in our scramble, but I roped one on 18, which was, I fell to my knees and gave thanks. I literally did fall to the ground because actual people saw me hit a golf ball decently. It got to the point, this is true, I'd be on the tee, and there was like big galleries because people, you know, they loved him. And I'd get to the tee, and I'd look up, and I'd say, "What's that?" And I'd point over their heads, and I'd hope that people would turn and look away, and then I'd swing, which didn't lead to a whole lot of good shots. But
yeah, that's not the right approach. That's not what you want to be. That's not the confidence you want to be feeling standing under the ball. You're like, man,
no,
I really hope nobody's watching this.
No, but I didn't want people filming it and putting it on Twitter either. So I was just trying to get people. I was trying to throw them off, but. You know, what do you got? Well, how's your game? Your game's good.
Yeah, I'm playing okay right now. I haven't played a lot. I just got married. I was in New Zealand. I was not really playing a ton of golf, and now I came back and I was at the match play and Masters, and it's just been bang, bang, bang. But I'm playing a 2-day event this weekend before the Masters, so I will let you know how it goes. It's actually at the course I play most of the time down in Phoenix. So hopefully I can find a little bit of magic. Is Tebow able to move it like he looks like he can move it?
He hits the ball so far, it's preposterous. I mean, he's been pursuing swinging at a different ball, so to speak. So when I saw him afterwards, I said I was so bad. He goes, bro, I was worse. I'm like, there's no way possible that you were worse than me. But we, as his auctioneer, we raised $1.2 million the night before, which is a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. It's been a great year. You haven't had a bad run yet. It's going to be exciting to see you in Butler Cabin, to see you host the Masters. I know you're fired up. We're fired up to see it. Scott, I appreciate you taking some time jumping on. I hope to run into you next week at the Masters. I'll make sure to have a pimento cheese in the back pocket to hand over.
Please do. Can keep doing great work. I enjoy it, and I appreciate you having me back on.
A fun podcast, a fun Clubhouse episode. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Many thanks to Zachary, Emily, and Scott. All have very big weeks ahead of them, of course, for different reasons. You can, of course, subscribe to our Clubhouse newsletter. It comes out Mondays and Wednesdays if you go to my Twitter page at the Clubhouse Pod. That link is pinned right atop. Don't forget to check that out. And don't forget about Ogio. I've told you plenty about their golf bags before. I'll tell you again. Their golf bags are unbelievable. They have so many pockets. They're so durable, they're lightweight, they're easy to carry. They also make cart bags, if that's your thing. They have stand bags, they have everything. Ogio has great backpacks, but they also have amazing golf bags. If you go to ogio.com, O-G-I-O.com, check out their selection, check out that silencer one. You'll like it, I can guarantee it. No golf bags like it, ogio.com. Okay, that will do it for this week on the Clubhouse. So much more coming, so make sure you're subscribing, you're following along, you're leaving a review if you like it. We've got a Monday podcast coming up. We've got a Wednesday podcast with a player that's in the field that you're going to be really excited about. We got a lot coming up. So get yourself to that iTunes link and subscribe, and don't miss a Clubhouse episode. I hope you're getting a chance to play a little bit of golf, because you're not going to play much next weekend. You're going to be watching the Masters.